Blog Talk Radio.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot. Oh my! It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Psychic medium Helene Olson and paranormal researcher Patricia Baker. Here are Supernatural Girls.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of Supernatural Girls. I am your host, Patricia Baker, and I'm here with my co-host, psychic medium Helene Olson. Hi, Helene.
Hello, Patricia. How are you this evening?
I'm great. I am happy. I'm warm.
Yeah, the weather's been wonderful. Yep.
It did get a little chilly here, but I'm warm right at this moment, and I like that feeling, so I'm happy to share that with you. And my lawnmower. My lawnmower has been put away for the season. So,
oh, that's sad for you.
I know it. It's very sad for me. No more lawn mowing. No more. But I have some good news. My husband actually said, I heard him say it, he really would like to buy a new lawnmower. So that brought tears to my eyes. I was so happy.
That is funny.
Well, you know how much I love to mow the lawn. I really do. But this lawnmower has seen its day, so it is time to get something bigger and better. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in the spring. I can't wait for the grass to start growing again, and I know it's a long way off, but something to look forward to at the end of winter.
Not so long. Not so long. Time's moving so quickly, right?
You know, it is. It just seems like I turn around, the week's gone. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. Blink your eye, the day is gone, the week is gone, the month is gone. I can't believe I'm already feeling behind for the holidays, you know?
Oh, God.
It's crazy.
Yikes. They're coming upon us soon. Well, I know. Well, to get some good advice on what to do about what's coming, let's talk to our numerologist, Patricia Kirkman. Hi, Patricia.
Well, good evening, ladies.
So
I'm
thinking
about your lawnmower. I bet it's going to be under your Christmas tree.
Now, that would be a picture I would have to post. Something that large under the Christmas tree, wouldn't that be something? So, Patricia, tell us, what in the world are we walking into here? It seems like the energy is really ramping up. Tomorrow
is
the day of number 13. What's going to be happening?
It's all about details of things, and I'm afraid we're going to find people being a little angry and doing a lot of huffing and puffing. They're going to be kind of being very uptight and very tense because they're it's kind of like trying to be a direct arrow. You've thrown a dart, you want it to go in the middle. Well, it doesn't always go that way. It veers off. Well, that's how people are going to feel about some of the projects they're working on tomorrow. And it's
so
part
short
of that
tempers.
Oh, yes, and it's also part of that universal 9 month that we're in, which is wrapping up a lot of old things. And so when it comes to the details of things, and for God's sakes, everybody, just breathe tomorrow. Breathe deeply as if you're trying to bring in something special from the soles of your feet on up. That will help tremendously.
So don't get into rage incidents. Don't get mad at your partner over nothing. It's just try to let it go.
That's right. And if we just concentrate on details and do actual physical labor, we'll feel 110% better. That physical labor will pull some of these knots out, shall we say, and that will make it a much, much easier for everybody tomorrow. It's when they try to make it pretty and fluffy that they realize that, hey, it's not going to work that way.
All right, so we got to roll up our sleeves and actually dig into some physical activity, rake those leaves.
Dig that ditch, whatever
Midwest,
it takes.
You could, you're
physical
in the Midwest,
labor.
You can shovel the snow because they've got quite a bit of that going on.
That they
and they
do,
can
that
keep
they
it.
Do.
We don't want it here.
I don't. Well, I certainly don't want to see it here.
No, but that's one good way to have a good workout. So,
oh, that's for sure.
Wow. So we have to find a different way to express this physical energy so that we don't take it out on other people.
That's right.
So we will do such as you have recommended. And you also have been looking at paranormal energies and how they can manifest in someone's name. So what would make somebody more psychic in their name? What letters would be meaningful about that?
Well, actually, we find that G and P are very much a letter that deals with the spiritual side. And the thing that I find very fascinating is that different letters will draw us towards it. Many times people are born into it, shall we say. Well, we've heard the saying, someone says, oh, I'm from a family that they were born with a veil. There are some people that have that ability that they're born with, and it's handed down. But there are other people that the given name at birth will give them opportunities to either look into or be a part of the paranormal. And if they allow themselves to use these gifts, they're fabulous. But many times people are afraid of them. If they become frightened of it, they'll be afraid to use it. And I always use a thing that says this. If you don't try it, you'll never know what you can truly do. Just assume that it's normal to feel these things, that it's normal to be able to make these choices. And you'll find that sometimes that all of a sudden they're happening. And it didn't take all that much additional. But the numbers of 7 is a very high spiritual number. 9 is a very spiritual number because it's helping others. 22 is, and 11 are very spiritual numbers. So when we're looking at a person's name, we take a look at what do their letters represent, what do the numbers come out in each name, and what numbers are missing. Many times the missing numbers are the ones we have to work at the hardest at, but we find that there's many times a change that comes about because of that. There's nothing more spectacular than somebody that has enough knowledge to feel that they have everything lined up. They know it all. Unfortunately, it's strictly by the book, but it is not an intuitive thing, although they're smart enough to convince you that they can. That's where we talk about some of the wannabes.
So you're saying that they may not have a real gift, but they have the ability to
they're
make
good
people
salesmen.
Think they do. Interesting.
They're good salesmen. Uh-huh.
Hmm.
And I find that very interesting sometimes because when you meet someone that seems to have a gift and you pay attention after a while, you realize they truly do have a gift and they build on it and they work with it constantly. There are those that are in that circle because they want to be. And the more that they can add on to who they are by what they're getting from other people, they use it as their own shield, shall we say. But they don't truly have the extreme gift that others do. It doesn't mean that they can't learn how to use things and how to be a part of it. But it's sleight of hand. That's a different story.
So you may have, in your practice where you do readings for people individually and you mm-hmm. teach other people how to do this in groups, you must have seen quite a few truly gifted psychics in your practice.
I have seen people that have a great ability and some that have a great knack for it, but their fear of it shuts it down.
Oh, my.
And many times it's because it's how they were raised, you know. My religion says I shouldn't do this, or somebody else's aunt said you can't do that. And those are scars that are put on them when they're younger many times that they are afraid of letting go of as they get older. And there are others that will turn around and break free of it all and will certainly test the waters to see what they really can do. We've got a lot of talented people, and the given name has a lot to offer us, as does the birthday, as does the birth sign. It isn't just our birth sign, it's what's our rising sign, what's our moon sign. each one of these things have something to add to what we do or how we do it. So we could always learn how to do it better. Is everybody born psychic? I think we all have a gift to learn something if we're willing to take the chance. But as I said, too many times people are just fearful. They need not be.
Yeah, I think in this day and age, a lot less than in the past, but it still is a risk to talk about it with certain people and certain groups of people who may be skeptical or may just be in a situation where they can't accept this type of thing as being real. So, yeah, I mean, totally understand what you're saying. And it is interesting that the psychic gift can be perceived as coming from the vibration of the name, combined with the birth date also. Do you think that any particular sign, astrological sign, is more prone to being psychic?
Yes, I do. But
you want to tell us which one?
Well, you know, Aquarians are considered very much into the metaphysics. But Scorpio, although you have to remember the sting of the scorpion's tail, they do have a very strong tendency to dig deeper into things. And there again, where the placement is. Is it their birth sign? Is it their sun sign? I mean, their moon sign or their rising sign? And sometimes they will say, oh, gee, that person's, in my case, that person's a Libra. But if your rising sign and your moon sign, shall we say, is a Cancer or a Taurus, you're doubled. You're more that than you would be your actual sun sign.
So the sun sign doesn't tell the whole story, as we
know.
Not
always. Mm-hmm. Not always.
That Lots is interesting.
I know Helene's got to be good for it on this part, too. What do you think, Colleen?
I've looked into it a few times. It's fascinating. It really is. Yeah. Yep.
Well, we are going to be talking all about this. Are you psychic or just making it up with our guest in just a minute? So, Patricia, thank you for all your insight on number 13 tomorrow and what we need to do to get through the day, and also all this information on the vibration of our names and numbers and how that ties into being psychic. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. As always, ladies, have a fabulous evening.
Oh, good
night, Patricia.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, Helene, a very interesting guest on our show tonight. Her name is Carol Lynn. She has written a number of books, but the one we're talking about tonight, Are You Psychic or Making It Up? Understand and Manage Your Psychic Self and Help Your Loved Ones Who Think You May Be Losing It. Great subtitle.
It is. And it's something I think everybody goes through, don't you, Patricia?
I think so. I think so. In this culture, there are still a lot of people who don't quite accept this as you and I do. But we're going to find out all about this from Carol. So, Carol, welcome to the show. Welcome to Supernatural Girls.
Thank you very much, and hello, Patricia, and hello, Helene.
Hi, Carol.
So happy to have you here. So this is quite a book. It was a lot of fun to read it, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun talking with you this evening. You didn't really get into this whole thing about psychic and mediumship and all this until you were in midlife, right? Your 40s?
In my 40s, yeah. I had been psychic all my life, but I wasn't particularly interested in it as a child. It was when I started seeing the spirits of those who had passed over that I really started to take it seriously. For whatever reason, that was a turning point for me.
And who were the ones that you saw? Was this like your father or a friend's father that you first saw?
Very first spirit I ever saw was of my dog
who
had passed away. And, of course, I thought I was making it up. And then I was just before moving from California to the Boston area. And then I saw the spirit of a man standing next to my friend's refrigerator, and I described the spirit, and she knew who it was. And more things like that started to happen. which caused me to talk to some other friends, and I said, I don't know what's going on with me. And somebody said, well, maybe you're a medium. And I was so out of the loop that I didn't even know what that was.
I hear you, Carol. I hear you.
So it just was nothing I was looking for, knew about. You know, I was a mm-hmm. musician and, you know, a music teacher and performer. And suddenly my life started to turn upside down. And I wish that I had had the book that I've written, Are You Psychic or Making It Up, at that point in my life. I wish I'd had it much earlier in my life.
I bet, because as you said, this turned your life upside down. So what happened? What was the upside down part of this?
Well, the upside down part was that for a long time I thought I was making it up. Then I joined a spiritualist church circle, and as I started doing readings and kind of developing the gift week after week and started doing practice readings for people, this was now beginning to take up my time. I had another business called Quality Performance Coaching, where I went around the country coaching people in presentation skills. And there was a certain point at which I had to make up my mind, you know, was I going to give my life to this practice of readings and doing mediumistic and psychic work, or was I going to continue with my business? I couldn't do both. So I made a big decision and just decided it was more important to be a medium.
And so when you made that decision, now, were you married at the time?
I was. See, my husband married a musician. He didn't marry a medium.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
this is so interesting. It's really fascinating because I read the book, and it kind of parallels what I went through and many others have gone through, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people that I've run across have had their gifts really blossom later in life when you really have more life experience and acceptance under your belt, I think. Don't you, Carol?
Well, I'm quite happy that it happened in the way that it did. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that if there is someone listening who is 23 years old or 33 years old that they should turn off their gifts, but
no.
Just really happy that it worked out the way it did with me, because I really wouldn't have been ready for the responsibility when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is, as you know, a huge responsibility.
A huge ethical responsibility, yeah.
Yeah, people don't realize the responsibility that it...
No, they don't, and there's a lot of great people out there who really, really have a heart to help, and they all do, it seems to me, but then there's a very tiny faction, just like there isn't any business out there, that just isn't doing the right thing. They're doing a lot of shock things. They're doing a lot of off-the-cuff stuff with information that they shouldn't be repeating or...
Sure.
Just, you know... allowing to fall out of their mouth sometimes. And people really do, don't you think, hang on the word of a psychic?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They do. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
amazing. I say
mm-hmm.
to my students sometimes, be careful what you say to people
mm-hmm.
because they will believe you
mm-hmm.
that you
yeah.
are telling the absolute truth. And you may, but you may not. You know,
mm-hmm.
you may not be saying it in the best way, or you may not have tuned in just right. I think
mm-hmm.
we can make mistakes, and just like anybody else.
Well, I don't think the future is set in stone as much as people think.
No.
And that other things come in, people make different choices, and the future changes, too.
That's right. I often
mm-hmm.
say to people, you want me to tell you what's going to happen? I'll give you the prediction that comes to me, but if something changes 20 minutes from now, so does the prediction.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So
I tend
not to give
yeah.
predictions unless mm-hmm. they just come to me without being asked.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're usually pretty accurate. Like if
mm-hmm.
I'm in a reading and it just comes to me,
mm-hmm.
I will give it. But I don't have clients asking me 20 questions of predictions.
Right.
But that's how I feel. And I know everybody doesn't work the way I work or feel the way I feel, and you know, there's a lot of us working and we don't all agree with each other, which is the same as in any business.
That's for sure. Yes. So when all of this happened, you were married, and like you said, your husband married a musician,
yeah,
a medium.
Surprise!
So what happened?
Yeah, it's like in my 40s, I jumped out of a different cake. Well, he wasn't quite sure about it. I mean, as it was starting, he used to accuse me of making things up about people. And I didn't really understand what was happening because I thought everybody saw what I saw. I think one of the examples I give in Are You Psychic is we were at a party once and I was saying something about, you know, this divorced woman that we had met. And he said, well, how do you know she was divorced? She didn't say that. And I said, well, she just looked divorced. Couldn't you see it? And I started to realize that not everybody was seeing the same things I was seeing about other people. So this caused quite a bit of tension for a while, but now, you know, my husband's my biggest supporter, even though he's not totally into what I do. He helps me, you know, set things up. He drives me to events. You know, he's a great guy.
Aren't you lucky? And so your marriage obviously survived this major change.
It did, but not all marriages do.
True.
No, they don't. No.
And
you know,
do you know of people where it has destroyed their relationship?
Yes, I do. I do. Because, you know, if someone is really deeply committed to psychic and mediumistic work and starts to fill their hearts more with the essence of higher consciousness, I hate using all these words because the words don't really ever work because it's beyond words.
Mm-hmm.
But in this work, if we develop spiritually, we change. And if the people we're with don't grow along with us, they don't have to believe everything that we believe, but if they don't also grow along with us, we outgrow them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a snobby way, but it's just, you know, sometimes when people develop spiritually and their partners don't, there is a breakup.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, and I understand exactly what you're saying with that. It's too bad that it has to happen that way sometimes, but it's like, this, you know, the clothes don't fit anymore, so time to get new clothes.
Yeah. But I think there are many people who are able to work it out with their partners. And I think that the best way to work it out with your partner is to not put a lot of pressure and say, you have to believe what I believe. But simply just, I don't care if you believe what I believe. Just support me. This is my interest. This is my adventure. This is my spiritual journey. You don't have to be on the same journey with me, but support me in my journey.
Oh, that's nice.
But it is nice, but it seems like, let's say your partner suddenly decided to be a master basket weaver. You would expect the other partners to totally support their new venture, no matter what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, it seems like when it happens to be spiritual or psychic or mediumistic, there's a bigger divide.
Well, because
and
now we're now we're
now.
Dealing with people's minds and hearts,
mm-hmm.
and souls, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we're
I think
not
the
dealing
frequencies
with,
change, and it just yeah.
That's a very good way to put
mm-hmm.
it. The frequencies
mm-hmm.
change, and that happens
yeah.
with friends too.
Mm-hmm. It does, yeah.
I lost quite a few friends.
Mm-hmm.
So what
but
was
on the happier side, I've met a whole new group of incredible people that are in the same wavelength, and it's marvelous.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Now, but let me ask you about your husband. Was there a defining moment when he understood that you weren't making it up?
I think that sometimes I talk about my readings, and I like to do what I call evidential mediumistic readings, which means I have to bring facts and prove that I am in touch with a particular spirit that the client recognizes. And so year after year, he would listen to me tell him, I'd tell him about the readings that didn't go so well too, but I'd tell him about the best ones and some of the evidence. And after a while, he realized I couldn't guess all that.
Right.
There was a tipping point. I don't know if it was so much a defining moment as a tipping point. And actually, I had to go through that process too, because it took me years of doing readings where I was still trying to find, you know, there must be some way that I am getting this other than really talking to a spirit. It was really hard for me to believe in the early years. And two things happened to me. First of all, there was a tipping point where I just realized I could not guess that much. And also, as I got deeper into connecting with spirit, I started to really feel the presence of spirit in the way that I hadn't in the early years, and I just knew. I still need the evidence to back it up. I'm not going to claim I'm in contact with the spirit without the evidence. But there's also now a feeling of just knowing.
Now, when you connect with a spirit, do you see them with your eyes or feel them, or does your third eye open?
Well, it's just different with each spirit that comes through. Mm-hmm. Mostly now, I see everything within my mind's eye. Mm-hmm. I don't see objectively as much as I did in the beginning, which is interesting, and I've heard that from quite a few mediums.
Yeah, that's what happens,
So with some spirits, I'll see what they looked like quite clearly. With others, I'll know more about what happened to them. It's like a video going on in my mind,
mm-hmm.
of what happened in their mm-hmm. life. And it's just different. Sometimes I get names, sometimes I don't get names.
Well, that has to do with the spirit, really, I think.
I don't know. You know, it's a curious thing, and mediums debate this. I'm mm-hmm. sure you've debated this with many mediums.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You can do, you know, two readings on the same day, and one, the evidence is so phenomenal that you're just knocked off your seat. And in another, it's okay, but it just wasn't as crisp a connection.
Well, my personal feeling about that is that it's the energy of the spirit that's connecting.
Yeah,
some of them just make an effort to come through like gangbusters. They had bigger energy in life. They're more adamant about wanting to get through. And others are kind of laid back and kind of curious and not really stepping forward quite as hard. That's been my personal thought about it.
I'm kind of agnostic on this. I have mm-hmm. a few ideas, but I'm not sure which is right because I have no mm-hmm. way to prove it. But I feel that it could be that there's a kind of spiritual weather. That sometimes
that happens too.
The connections are just not as good.
Yeah.
And it could be the energy of the way that the spirit and the client and I come together. Now, I'm not supposed to be affected by the client, but I'm tremendously affected by the client.
Well, I think all mediums are tremendously affected by clients because they're bringing their own frequency and their own vibration about it. And, you know, I'm sure you've met a few clients like this and people who are listening. They step forward. They say they want to talk to their mom, but they have so much trepidation that there have been a few occasions where I've had to say, when you calm down, you can come back, because this isn't helping. You know, it just isn't. And so sometimes their energy does sort of play a part in it, yeah.
I think it does. So I mm-hmm. think there are a whole lot of factors
mm-hmm.
that come into play.
Now,
I think that... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Carol, but we have a lot of questions coming in from the chat room for you. And here's one. Oops, screen just went blank.
I love questions from the chat room.
Oh, goody. All right. Well, we have quite a few here. They want to know, do you only get human spirits, or do you also communicate with higher beings, aliens, or angels?
Well, in my mediumistic readings, I get both human beings and animals. There's another kind of reading I do called an intuitive guidance reading. And in that, I am connecting with what I feel is a higher power. And I, with due respect to their relatives in spirit and my relatives in spirit, I think there are higher minds. But I prefer to do that in a different kind of reading. Because for me, I know this is not true for all mediums and psychics, but for me, I feel I'm going to a different place than the place I go to meet people's grandmothers and husbands and brothers.
And now, when you do a reading like that, it's different.
The intuitive guidance?
Yes, so you call it intuitive guidance, and you give people a reading from that place?
Yes. If people are really interested in knowing what that energy feels like to me, I have another book called Cosmic Connection, Messages for a Better World, and that is the book about all my experiences, and you get a real feeling for the energy that I perceive myself connecting with. And it feels like an energy as opposed to a personified being.
Mm-hmm. Right. I understand
that. Does that answer your question?
I believe it does answer the question from that question from the chat room.
Okay.
And here's another one. This person would like to know if you have ever prevented an injury or death because of your gift.
Well, one day, yes, I have. One day, a woman called me crying on the phone because her dog had gotten away. And she asked me if I could tune in on it, and I told her to call me back in 20 minutes, and I got off the phone, and I tuned in. She called back, and I said, you know, I see you, you're in a pickup truck. And she said, yes, I am. So she was driving in a pickup truck. And I said, well, I feel you're driving the wrong way. And she said, no, we've got to drive towards the fields. And I said, no, you've got to drive the other way towards the woods, because I see the dog is somehow caught up between two trees. It looks like rope to me, but it could just be some kind of vines, you know, of the shrubs. And they turned around, went the other direction, and that's exactly where they found the dog, and in that kind of situation. And they
Amazing.
Got the dog in time.
Oh, how
because
wonderful.
It was freezing. So that was mm-hmm. that was very beautiful experience for me.
That's terrific, and that's not an easy mm-hmm. thing to do, is to find lost pets. So that is something then that you can help your clients with.
Well, I don't do that on a regular basis. If somebody calls me up to make an appointment for that, I usually tell them to look for someone who specializes in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This particular day, this woman caught me on the phone. I felt guided by spirit that I could help, so I did it. And I've done a few other things like that spontaneously when people have
meant
called
to happen.
Me. But
yeah.
I do feel there are people who specialize in this, and so I don't, you know, I don't say that I do that.
Okay.
Well, there are. There's psychic detectives, and they're just people who specialize
yes.
in locating missing people and animals, and I don't.
Mm-hmm. No, understood. Yes. Now, somebody else was asking, have you ever helped to solve a murder?
I'm not sure. There was I don't usually work with detectives, but there was a detective who sort of appealed to me when she called me. And I helped her for quite a while, but I don't know what the outcome was. But
uh-huh.
she kept calling me back because she felt I was able to describe the situation of the murder as it happened and many things about it without knowing anything about it. But it's not something that that's not something that I'm specializing in.
Have you had spirits tell you how they were murdered?
Have I had spirits tell me how they were murdered? Not too many times.
Mm-hmm.
I've had more suicides than I've had murders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Really? And mm-hmm. What have you learned from them? What did they tell you?
Well, it's kind of hard to boil it down. You know, it's an individual situation, but if I have to generalize, I would say that the greater majority of them wish they hadn't done it.
Yeah.
Or didn't really think it would work.
Oh my.
Mhm.
Surprise.
Or didn't mean to do it. You know, they overdosed on something, but they were fooling around with drugs and too much alcohol, and they didn't realize. They didn't mean to commit suicide.
Sort of a passive suicide, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and people who don't take care of themselves over a long period of time, it's sort of like a gradual suicide, a lifestyle suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an interesting way to put it. Yeah, very interesting. So, you know, you talk about in your book that it is important in how you take care of yourself, especially when you have this type of gift. You talk about eating correctly and resting, taking time for yourself, time alone. I mean, it's a wonderful book that you've written that really gives people kind of a map and also keeps pointing back to you need to take care of you. And your needs may be a little different because you are more sensitive.
Well, I've come to believe that's true. I'm sure you feel more sensitive than a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us who are constantly picking up on energies around us and doing work where we're venturing into other realms and connecting with people who have passed on, we can't help but be more sensitive. It's like we have these antennas and they're getting bigger and bigger all the time.
Right.
And more powerful. So I feel totally different than I felt when I was in my 30s.
And what's important to you for you to maintain your health and your balance? What do you find is helpful?
Well, I find that diet and exercise are extremely important for me. If I don't exercise regularly, I'm sort of a bit of a nut. I need those endorphins or else I'm extra sensitive, I'm upset about everything, I'm complaining. You know, I'm not that much fun to be around. But when I'm eating properly and especially when I'm getting exercise done, I feel wonderful. I feel balanced, centered, all of that. And then I do a lot of breathing exercises too.
Mhm. And what about diet? When you talk about the right diet, everybody, I guess, has their own take on that. But for
yeah,
you,
yeah, well, I don't know that I can prescribe a particular diet for anybody else because I think everybody has different needs. But for me, it's you know, staying away from a lot of sweets, and I'm not a vegetarian, but I'd say about 75 to 80% of my diet is vegetarian, and
mm-hmm.
Drinking a lot of water. Drinking good, clean water seems to really help my energy.
So those are great habits to have, all of them, in terms of
well,
how you take
I,
care
I mean,
of
they're
yourself.
Habits that I have, and then I don't have them when I'm not being as good as I should.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a work in progress all the time.
It is, for all of us. And then you talk about the need to be alone. So how do you handle that?
How do I handle it? I shut the door.
That's a good way to do it.
I try to, as much as possible, I have learned that I have to have about a third of the day where I'm not with other people. I could be working, I could be on my computer, but I've just got to have the time when I'm not actively engaged with people. And when I go from morning to night, day after day after day after day, that has not been good for me. Now, there are other people who thrive on that, so I really don't like to say that what I do is necessarily good for everybody. I just say it's good for me.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's important to know yourself well enough to know what works, and so you've actually got it down to a formula. One-third of the day, you need to be away from people, so... I think that's excellent. I mean, that's very clear.
I can't always do that. It doesn't always work out, but that's what I'm trying for. When I find myself getting out of sorts and all discombobulated, I like to sit down with a notebook and pen and just say, okay, now, you know, what do I want my life to look like? And then I try to work towards that as well as I can,
mm-hmm.
within reason.
No, that's excellent. I mean, I live in a very remote area, and I love it. There's no traffic. There's no neighbors. It's just a lot of solitude, and I like that. I think if I were in an environment where I had to hear, you know, the noise of traffic and people coming in and out all day or whatever, it would really bother me. So, yeah, it's important, I think, to know the self. But like you mentioned, there are some people who thrive on that, who want the interaction, you know, with people all the time, and they do better with that.
Absolutely. That's why I think that, you know, spiritual development is so wonderful because we come to see ourselves as we really are. I like to talk sometimes about how we can't get away with anything anymore. You see yourself, if you're the least bit manipulative or gossipy or whatever, you know, you're going to be really hit on the head with it. You're going to see what you're doing. And you just can't get away with anything anymore. And you also start to see what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't always so fun, seeing who you really are. But if you're willing to do that, that's one of the great benefits of developing your psychic nature, is seeing who you really are and improving yourself.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. So, yeah, that's terrific that you've found a method also to, you know, and like you said in the book, you're not telling other people this is the way it needs to be for you. You're just saying this is what I've learned. And you also said that you wish you had a book like this when all of this started so that you would
have
known.
Well, I wish I did because, you know, I had so many different kinds of paranormal experiences, and I had no idea what was happening to me. And if I had had this book, I would have said, oh, that's what's happening to me. It would have saved me a lot of time and terror.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Was there anything that when all this started that really did scare you?
Yes, there was. This was actually when I was in my 20s, so this was way, way before. But I knew I was psychic by then because I had been tested and read people's minds at times. But as I said, we called it ESP then, and I didn't think it was that interesting. But I was working as a performer, living in a place called the Rehearsal Club in New York City. Actually, a movie was done about it called Stage Door, which only people old enough will remember. And so this roommate and I decided we were going to go have an out-of-body experience. So we sat on at separate sides of the room, and I tried to project. No, we sat on separate sides of the room, and then we put a chair on a third side of the room, and we were both going to project our spirits onto that chair and meet there. And I felt that we did. And I was scared to death I wouldn't be able to get back into my body. And it scared me so much that, you know, I put away any playing around like that for another 20 years.
Wow.
Now, if I had known about out-of-body experiences and maybe had a teacher who told me how to do it properly, I might not have gone through all that.
So this really stopped any progress that you could have made, this one event. With your friend.
I think it had a huge effect on me.
Mm.
That plus the fact that I was so wrapped up in being a performer, it was hard for anything else to really get my attention for quite some time.
I see. So, oh my goodness. But how fascinating that you finally made the jump. What was it that made, because you said you had to make a decision because you couldn't do both. You couldn't be a performer and a music teacher and coach anymore. You had to kind of decide, do I want to do that or do I want to be a psychic medium? And what was it that made you come
there was
to that decision?
There was a defining moment. I was already in the years where I was going back and forth to study at the Arthur Findlay College in Stansted, England. And I had marvelous teachers there, and I was already doing that. Meanwhile, I was working for quite a few companies in New York City doing my coaching. Well, there was one woman who hired me to coach her who is a very, very prominent businesswoman. And I was sitting in her office, and she had been on the cover of a major magazine just that week, and she was telling me about all the people she could introduce me to because she thought I was a really great coach. And as I sat there listening to her, I thought, no, that's not where I'm going. It was like I had a very ethereal moment, and I thought, no, that's not where I'm going. I'm going to be a medium. Because I knew that if I followed up with this woman and met the people she was willing to introduce me to, I might be growing my business incredibly. And I didn't follow up on it. I thanked her, but I didn't follow up on any of the introductions.
Oh, my goodness. So
wow.
And I just knew what my destiny was. It was very, very spiritual for me.
Well, that's wonderful. It's such an enlightening moment, and you finally
it
got
wasn't,
a clear
it was a, it, I'll
path.
Never forget it. I'll never forget it, but it was clear.
That's terrific. And we all we face these choices, but it's not clear sometimes, and how nice to have it be that clear.
That was very clear.
You are going to be a medium, and that's that. That's terrific.
And it was scary. It was scary.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, we are going to take a short break, and then we're going to come right back. And if you have a question for Carol, then please call 646-478-0828. Again, that number is 646-478-0828. So stay tuned, everybody. We're having a delightful time with Carol Lynn this evening. Just stay tuned. We're going to be coming right back.
Your property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy Attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic One Company. As one of the pioneers of the Organic One movement, since 1980, I have brought you the very best and most authentic organic wines directly to your table. I work with small family estates who grow certified organic grapes and produce exceptional wines. You can purchase our wines individually from our website at theorganicwinecompany.com or join one of our wine clubs. Our organic wines are perfect for you and for your family as gifts for friends and relatives, and they are simply spectacular for the holidays. Visit us at theorganicwinecompany.com to enjoy the very best organic wines conveniently delivered to your door. I am Veronique Raskin, passionate about my mission. I offer to you vegan, organic, and biodynamic wines, wines made by people of the heart, wines with a heart. Au revoir. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Are you ready for a new experience of freedom and powerful connection? Would you like a positive, effortless change in your life? Then come to CosmicFusion.com, where we offer the most advanced energy clearing and expansion techniques in the world, with a quantum vortex energy to activate your divine blueprint and life's purpose. When your soul leads the way with cosmic fusion and quantum vortex energy, you can break clear of past difficulties and blocks with the power of the source. With cosmic fusion, the source energy does the work for you. It's easy and effortless. Listen to our free meditation right from our cosmic fusion website, the Cosmic Code Meditation. Sign up for one of our interactive webinars today. Come to Cosmic Fusion, www.kosmicfusion.com, to experience an effortless awakening and transformation. Are you ready for an upgrade? Are you ready for a new experience of living in the fifth dimensional magic and powerful connection? Then visit CosmicFusion.com today. CosmicFusion.com.
Everyone, we are having a delightful time tonight with our guest, Carol Lynn. She is the author of a new book, Are You Psychic or Making It Up? Understand and Manage Your Psychic Self and Help Your Loved Ones Who Think You May Be Losing It. So, my goodness, you were scared. That's where we left off.
Yes, I was.
But you overcame that.
I did. I was afraid because I thought, you know, I don't want to be doing these readings unless I have good enough evidence to prove that I'm in touch with the spirits. And I want to learn how to work with people in a very responsible way. So I studied for about 7 years. I don't think studying can make you a psychic or a medium, but I was very fortunate to have some really good teachers take me under their wings, and it just made all the difference in the world.
And when you talk about you were studying, what did you study for 7 years?
Well, I sat in spiritual circles that would be directed by mediums who had a lot more experience than I did, and we would give readings to other people in the circle. We would also, sometimes guests would come in, so we wouldn't be reading for the same people all the time. And the teachers, you know, the best teachers were really hard-nosed about the evidence. I mean, you could feel it all you wanted, that you were in touch with a particular spirit, but you had to bring enough evidence. And I think that was great training. Then there was also a lot of coursework, learning about the history of spirit communication, of spiritualism, how to do things ethically, learning about spiritual healing. There were many, many things that I studied that kind of gave me a context for what I was involved with.
And that's important because it can be very grounding to have all that information.
I think it's really good. I mean, not everybody wants to become a spiritualist. I did. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I'm an ordained minister in spiritualism. But you can take all of those courses for the educational certificate without having to join the religion if you either don't want to be a member of religion or if you have a religion you're already part of that means a lot to you. But
so
I think the training...
You don't have to
really
give up your religion, is what you're saying then, if you wanted to
no.
do this work. Mm-hmm.
No, and there are also some very good teachers in spiritual centers and New Age bookstores. You know, they're not all in spiritualism, although I find that most of the best teachers that I've met, and I'm not saying I've met everybody, have some background in spiritualism.
Now, you studied not just here in the United States, but also in Europe?
I did. I was very fortunate to be able to go back and forth to the Arthur Findlay College for about 7 years. The way it happened was my children had grown up and my grandchildren were not so numerous yet. And my husband was in a job that allowed me to get those plane tickets, and off I went.
How
it
exciting.
It was just an opportune time, and
oh,
I learned
amazing.
A great deal.
Mm-hmm.
It was important for me, but not everybody has studied in the way that I have, and I'm not saying that everybody has to. That was just how I preferred to do it.
And the spiritualist church, can you tell us a little more about that? And, I mean, how does, if somebody wanted, let's say a listener was interested and wanted to join a group like that, how would they find it?
Well, they would go online and Google spiritualism, and they'll see a whole lot of organizations come up around the U.S. and around the world. They can also find a great resource section in my book, Are You Psychic or Making It Up? I've got all the organizations' names, phone numbers, addresses, everything in there. And then you kind of have to go, and you have to go to a few different places, because like any other kind of an organization, from bowling clubs to churches, you may like the people who are there and you might not. You've got to find a place you're comfortable with. Unfortunately, there are many parts of the country where there are absolutely no spiritualist churches.
Right.
And that's why I do online seminars, because I'm working with some people who come visit me occasionally, and then in between I work with them online because they have absolutely nothing where they are. It seems like the East Coast has a tremendous amount of spiritual centers, spiritualist churches, New Age bookstores, as does the West Coast. But there's a lot of places in between that don't seem to have enough resources for people.
And so you are able to meet with them online, which is terrific. So do you offer this through webinars, or how do you do this?
Well, I do it where I only accept 10 people at a time, because I want to be able to interact with them in a meaningful way. I'm not interested in just getting on a webinar and talking about the subject. We work. We do exercises. We do psychic exercises, we do mediumistic exercises, and I work with them in the same way that I would if they were in my office.
And are these...
It's worked out amazingly well. Some of these people have met me because they've come to in-person seminars I've done. Some of them have had readings with me, and we've realized they're talented, and so they come to a seminar, and, you know, it works out different ways. I don't work with a tremendous number of people because I'm looking to work with a small number of people at a time.
Mm-hmm. So when they come to you and you see that they have a gift, you see that they have talent, then are you able to help them to receive the training they need to then go out and
yes.
do this work?
If I feel after knowing somebody for a while that they have a gift, I remember how my teacher took me under her wing and all that she did with me, you know, getting me, driving me to the school in England, driving me around to serve churches, you know, coming over here. I mean, it was really like being an apprentice to her. And there's certain students, if they're really talented, I take them on as a kind of apprentice. And I work with them very intensely. If someone is not tremendously talented, there's certain groups of mine that they're welcome to, but I don't want to be responsible for making people think that they're cut out for being, you know, doing readings for people if they're not. Mm-hmm. I think most people can learn from spiritual development to help their own lives and to, you know, become intuitive enough and psychic enough to greatly improve their own lives and to be more smart in terms of what people they get involved with, because they're just going to pick up on things about people. So I think this development is good for every single person, but I think a smaller percentage have the kind of gift where they should be doing readings for people.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your book, you also make a kind of a differentiation between being an empath and being psychic. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, I think most people who are psychic are empathic. Empathic people pick up very strongly on the physical feelings other people have, their emotional feelings. It's not just that they're getting information, but they, for instance, I had a terrible time being an empath in the beginning. I mean, I remember one week when a friend of mine had knee surgery, and my knees were screaming in pain all night. I wasn't having any surgery.
Oh, my.
And my teacher had to really work with me on, you know, pushing those feelings away from me. Or when I first started communicating with spirits, if a spirit came through that had had a heart attack, I had a pain in my chest.
Oh, my.
And my teacher told me to tell the spirit, look, I got the point. You don't have to give me the actual pain. You can just give me a little sort of idea of it. So I don't have that problem anymore, but I did for quite a number of years. And even now, if somebody is telling a certain kind of story, you know, about something medical, I'll get jelly legs really quickly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would never be a good nurse or doctor.
Oh, my, that's funny. Well, yeah, I mean, but this, again, I want to encourage people to get this book because you do have such a wealth of information. And again, the name of the book is Are You Psychic or Making It Up? Understand and Manage Your Psychic Self and Help Your Loved Ones Who Think You May Be Losing It. So now you said you really haven't had any experiences with negative entities.
I haven't. I had one.
One time,
I was on the phone doing a phone reading, and a male spirit came through, and my client was female, and the spirit felt very, very, very negative to me, and I knew that I did not want to connect with this. So I said to the woman, you know, I feel really terrible, but I can't do this reading. I can't bring this spirit through. I just feel too uncomfortable. And she said, that's what the last medium said to me.
Oh, my goodness. So you ended the reading?
I did. Now, maybe I should have been able to deal with it, but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it felt that negative to you, where you didn't feel comfortable.
It felt that negative to me.
And were you able to see it, other than know that it was a male?
No. I just knew it was a male energy, and I knew that it was too negative for me.
Wow.
Now there may be mediums who could have dealt with that spirit really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I have a friend who's a really gutsy, you know, she's a medium, and she's a lot of tougher kind of woman than I am. And she can go in haunted houses and talk to negative energies, and, you know, she can do all kinds of things that I could never do. And people say, well, why couldn't you do that? And I say, for the same reason I couldn't be a policewoman. It's just not me. Can't do it.
It's, you know, talking with you tonight, it's very clear that you know who you are, and in knowing who you are, you know what your limitations are as well. That's very important to know that.
I think it is, because all of us who delve into this unbelievable world of spirit communication, whether we're, if we're doing psychic work, it's still spirit communication, because you're communicating with the spirit of another living person.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's mediumistic work, you're communicating with the spirit of someone who is no longer living in a body. Either way, it's spirit communication. And, you know, I wouldn't think that anyone would want to be doing the kind of work they don't feel they're suited for. And we're all different, so I think we all can shine in different ways.
Absolutely. And it's nice that you don't try to force yourself into positions where you really don't feel you belong. And so it's a way of keeping yourself safe, too.
One of the things I say in my book, and I try to tell my students, is, you know, just because you are psychic or mediumistic doesn't mean that you know about everything paranormal. Like, one of the things I've found since I've been an author is that people expect me to have an opinion on every single paranormal subject.
Mm-hmm.
From aliens to, negative spirits, haunted houses, you know, you name it. Well, I could sound smarter by giving an opinion on everything, but what right do I have to give an opinion on something when I haven't really studied it?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So,
just because I don't know about it doesn't mean there's something wrong with it, and it doesn't mean that it's, you know, the greatest thing in the world. I can't form an opinion. I don't want to give an opinion if I don't have a lot of experience with something.
Mm-hmm.
By now, I've had a lot of experience with spirit communication, and I feel ready to give opinions about it. But again, they're my opinions, and some will agree and some will disagree.
Sure. Well, that makes sense. But, you know, for you, it sounds like you've had a very blessed journey, and that you did have someone who took you under their wing, and so you got a lot of really great knowledge and really great training.
I did.
That's
I did. My
terrific.
My teacher is a woman named Brenda Lawrence, who lives in England, and she's just a fabulous medium and a real wonderful, wonderful teacher.
That's terrific. You're so blessed in knowing her.
I am.
Her.
Yeah. I'm very blessed.
Yeah. Now, have you had any experience as a psychic medium with apports?
Apports.
You know, when things physically materialize, like out of nothing.
I don't think so.
The reason I'm asking is because I know in the UK they seem to have a lot more physical mediums than they do
they
here.
They do.
So,
they do.
Yeah. Why is that? Why do they have more physical mediums over there?
Well, I think there was a period. I think there was a period of time where spirit was manifesting through physical mediums through a substance called ectoplasm.
Right.
And it sounds kind of gross, but this stuff would come out of the orifices of the medium's body and create a likeness of the spirit. I never saw it, but I do. There are still people alive that I know personally who did see it, whom I believe.
Mm.
But it doesn't seem to happen that much now. It's not a good thing for the medium. It's dangerous. Quite a few mediums died from it, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Their health went. And even the mediums I talk to in England now say that spirit is not communicating that much that way anymore. That they
don't need to.
They're communicating through our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think in England and other parts of the more ancient world that there were deeper wells of connection there?
I think that in the United States, we want instant everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that some of the circles, spiritual circles that have met in England have been working for 15 to 20 years to try to make a trumpet rise off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll literally sit that long to try to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Americans, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no,
we
what
have
I meant was
that
Yeah, what I meant was that they've been practicing since ancient times with magic and the occult. And so they've created sort of places that are more connected than they are here. Because the
it
amount of time and energy.
But we have some places that Native Americans have practiced that
mm-hmm.
a lot of people feel are pretty deep spiritual places.
Mm-hmm.
My own particular feeling is that when you develop spiritually, you don't need to go to any of those places.
Mm-hmm.
That those places may give you motivation because you feel the energy, but ultimately, if you can get together with a group of like-minded people, create your own circle. If you're lucky enough to travel the world, fine, but you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because spirit will come to you.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you are. I have another question for you from the chat room.
Great.
Someone would like to know if you feel meditation is important.
I do. I think that making time for meditation is a way of saying, I am making time for my inner self. And if that meditation is spiritual for you, then it's a way of saying, I am making time for my inner self to connect with a power greater than myself. And I think that's really important, whether you call it meditation or prayer or channeling. You know, there are many different ways to connect with spirit. But meditation is the best way to start.
And for people who are beginning to meditate, do you have any suggestions on time or, you know, how they should be doing this? Should they be lying down, sitting up? I know everybody's got their own advice for this, but this person would like to know what you recommend.
Well, I recommend sitting up because if you lay down, you may go to sleep. So I think sitting up is better if you can, or if you need some back support, pillows propped behind you. I think it's better to meditate the same time every day, if that's possible, and to, even if it's 10 or 15 minutes, it can be very helpful. Silence is really wonderful, but some people have such busy minds that they're better off starting playing some soft music. And then at a certain point, you may be able to turn that music down and just be in the silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. I know we've talked about this before on the show. It's not easy to quiet the mind. And when you're in this culture, as somebody here in the United States, it is really tough to do. But then what some were recommending is do a walking meditation, do a walk on a labyrinth, you know, or something like that. It's a moving meditation.
I think walking meditations are great. I meditate in all different ways. Sometimes I'm sitting, sometimes I'm walking, sometimes I'm listening to music, sometimes it's silent. But the important thing is to say to myself, I am now taking some time to be with a greater, higher consciousness.
Yeah,
and
that
even
is
just
important
as,
thing.
Even just as I think about that now, I feel a different energy.
Mm. Now, here's another question for you from the chat room. What was your most challenging reading?
My most challenging reading. Well, there's two kinds of challenging readings. A challenging reading for me was with a mother who had lost a child. And it was challenging because it was so sad and it was so emotional.
Mm.
But it was a wonderful experience, a good experience for both of us. Another kind of challenging reading is when you get a client who is obnoxious. And you wonder, why did they make this appointment? Because what they're really trying to do is prove you're wrong.
Uh-huh.
And that can be very challenging. And I used to fight my way through those readings in the beginning, but I don't anymore.
No.
If someone is like that, even my teacher said to me, she says, you know, if you're having a hard time and you're 5-10 minutes into the reading, stop it. You know, you don't need to put yourself through that. So that doesn't happen. So I just end it. I don't put myself through it because it's really clear. Now, when I say that, though, there are times where I've lasted longer and the person has turned around. There are times I said to the person, you know, I just don't think this is working. I think we should end it. And they've said, what do you mean? I don't want to end this. I say, well, you seem like you're really unhappy and you're not really listening. You're challenging every point I'm making, and I feel like we're arguing. No, we're not. It's fine. So sometimes I've been able to say, well, let's just start again. Let's calm down and just try to be a little bit slower in your responses. And sometimes the readings turned around, and I'm glad I hung in there. So I don't know. This is really a tough question to answer as to
But you gave a wonderful answer. I mean, this is fascinating. Fascinating to hear, you know, how you have dealt with both the grief of a mother losing a child and the skeptics that call for a reading. But do they really want a reading, or do they want to just give you a hard time? You know, that's the question. So,
I think they really want a reading, but it is so far out of their comfort zone that they just have to misbehave. I don't know. I do the best I can. It's a hard call sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm sure Helene can relate to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, your book, again, has such wonderful little stories in it and also tips on how to handle certain things. But skeptics, there are a number of them out there.
Yes.
What do you do with them other than the people that call for reading that you can just get rid of? I mean, skeptics, they seem to be very entrenched and addicted to their way of thinking.
Well, you know, when I first started, it was very important to me to somehow win over the skeptic.
No, that's not a good idea.
But
you found that out right.
You know, as time went on, I realized, well, why should the skeptic believe in this? They don't see what I see. One of the stories I like to tell, and I think this is in Are You Psychic or Making It Up, is if I walk into a room as a psychic and I see an image of 6 red balloons, and a person walks in with me who is not psychic, and I say, oh my goodness, do you see those balloons? And they say, no, I don't see anything. Well, why should I expect them to see what I'm seeing? And if they don't see it, why should they believe me? They don't see it. So when I see a spirit and I'm with somebody who doesn't have that ability, why should I expect them to believe me? So
it just doesn't
bother me anymore.
Yeah, which is great. But skeptics, again, they're so entrenched in their own belief system. Because you bring up a valid point, Carol. You say, why should they believe me? They don't see what I'm seeing. But why shouldn't they give you the benefit of the doubt? That's what skeptics don't want to do.
Why should they give me the benefit of the doubt?
I think out of respect for you as a person.
If they told me that a giant, you know, spaceship was going to fall on the planet Earth tomorrow, I might not believe them. Should I give them the benefit of the doubt just because they believe it?
Well, no, I'm not saying that you then jump on board and wave the flag and say, yes, you know, I'm on board with this. But I think there's a difference between a skeptic who is entrenched and just wants to prove you wrong and them right, and a person who doesn't see the way you do but is open to considering the possibility that you see something they don't. So that's what I'm talking about. I think with a skeptic, a lot of times it turns into something worse than an argument, because it's really... When I see and hear some of these skeptics, it's kind of disrespectful. That's putting it mildly. So that's the issue I have when people talk this way about, or talk about another person and their gift. And it's true, they don't see what you're seeing. But there's also another element there that I find that is somewhat disturbing, just about their own
personality.
Well,
I think if people are really nasty, you know, whether it's about paranormal work or anything, if people are really nasty, they need to take a look at why they're acting that way.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it's something more.
There's something else going on. But
right.
In the same token, you know, if people who believe in that life is eternal become, you know, fundamentalists about it and feel that everybody's got to believe it, then we become as bad as the skeptics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that any of us talking now would do that. But there's some people who get on the bandwagon that everybody's got to believe this, that there is eternal life, and that can be just as harmful as the skeptics getting on in a bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can see I don't like bandwagons too much. Unless there's a good band playing.
Right. Oh, that's really interesting. Well, you know, again, there's so much to this. There's a lot of uncharted water still with this type of phenomenon. But you found a comfort level for yourself, and you've certainly gotten some incredible training and had years of experience with this. So I imagine that you're a terrific resource for people who want to explore this. So where is the website that they can find you?
Well, they can find me at carollynne.com, carollynne.com. And if they would like to buy a copy of Are You Psychic or Making It Up, I suggest they go to Amazon or their local bookstore.
Great. So it's available online and probably at their local bookstore, whether it's Barnes & Noble, still in business.
It may not be on the shelf, but if they call ahead, they can order it. And it's available as a paperback. It's available for your Kindle, your iPad. You know, there are all different kinds of ways you can read it. But if you're interested in this subject, this book will give you a lot of things to think about, will explain a lot of things to you, and also give you tremendous resources to follow up on.
Yeah, there.
And it's an easy read. It's not a big, heavy, fat book. It's an easy read, and most people who have read it have told me they thoroughly enjoyed it. So I feel like this book is helping people, and that makes me happy.
Well, I can see where it does help people. It is an easy read, absolutely. And when I read the book, I felt like I was listening to you. You know, it's very conversational. Yeah, it's just a great book, so I highly recommend it, and especially for somebody who's just starting out and needs answers. I mean, you give some dialogue you can have with skeptics, how to talk to your loved ones about this.
What to say to your husband.
Yeah, right. Start there.
I've gotten some great feedback on the dialogues, because not that I'm telling people to use my exact words, but it sort of gives a person a starting point of what you might say to your significant other or your parents or your sister or whoever.
That's great. And I also really like in the book that you talk about you have certain extra special needs because you are psychic, and it's important to pay attention to that. So your sensitivities are going to be greater, and you need to listen internally to see how to meet those needs. So whether it
and
is
I have to tell you
time,
that my teacher Brenda told me when I was first starting, she said, now Carolyn, you're going to be much more sensitive 5 years from now. You won't even believe how much you've changed. And I didn't believe her. I thought, yeah. But then it happened to me. And it's still happening. So she was right.
There it is. You had a great teacher who was right.
Yes, she was right.
You also, Carol, talk about finding a therapist. So there are some people, let's face it, who are not necessarily psychic, but they are maybe mentally imbalanced. And so, you know, it is important to seek professional help if you need it.
It is.
Or you may need professional help even if you are balanced mentally, but you're having these experiences. So you talk about how to find a good therapist in the book. So
I do, because, you know, this is a very tricky situation. Because some therapists would consider that everything that I'm experiencing is like a psychotic hallucination.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not going to be a good therapist for me. I need what I call a spirit friendly therapist if I want psychological help. And I think that many people who are extra sensitive can really benefit from therapy. I see therapy as a growth process. I don't think you have to be totally unbalanced to benefit from therapy. And so if you're going to go to a therapist, you need to find one who doesn't necessarily believe in all this, but is open to it. If they're totally skeptical, you may not feel comfortable talking to them about your experiences, because you may need to be able to separate what was truly a psychic experience or mediumistic experience, and what might be an experience that you're having because of fear or anxiety.
And it is important to be able to differentiate and to learn skills to navigate whether it's emotional waters that are somewhat unclear or psychic waters. So
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But finding a therapist can be tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be done. There's more and more therapists who are out there now about their spiritual endeavors.
And it is a growth process. So, yeah, so people shouldn't hesitate to find that right therapist to work with if they need that support. And I do think it is important to do for just about everybody to find emotional intelligence and ways of navigating emotional experiences, because it's something we're never taught, but yet that energy is so intense, it's like rocket fuel. So managing
and if you
it.
And if you happen to be a gifted psychic or medium, boy, you really have to get your own emotional house in order. Because
yes.
You're going to be dealing with all these spirits and the emotions of clients, and you more than anybody really need to work on yourself emotionally. In the same way that most therapists go for therapy themselves, they have supervision.
Right. Yeah,
and
I agree.
So there's a lot to this, Patricia and Helene, as you know.
There is. But I'm glad that you also see the value in this type of work, because I know
Helene
and I met many people who are talented, very talented psychics or mediums or both, but they don't have the emotional grounding, and it makes it a very rough ride for them.
Well, they have a very rough ride, and so do their clients.
Yes, that's right.
So I think as a field, as a community, we really need to try to interest people in working on themselves.
Amen.
It's an ongoing process.
It is. It absolutely is. And Carol, your book is wonderful. You're delightful. It's just it's been a lovely evening speaking with you and hearing about your adventures and your wonderful teacher. And again, the name of your book, Are You Psychic or Making It Up? Understand and Manage Your Psychic Self and Help Your Loved Ones Who Think You May Be Losing It. And your website is carollynne.com, and that's spelled carollynne.com. Great book. And I know for anybody who is looking for this type of inspiration and teaching, this inner learning, they should definitely make contact with you. This has been just a wonderful time speaking with you tonight.
Well, I thank you. This is a wonderful show, wonderful energy, and you're providing, both of you are providing quite a service here to people.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Yeah, it's what we say in our tagline. It's where paranormal is normal.
I love that. I love it.
Well, thanks again, Carolyn. And we so appreciate you spending your time with us tonight.
It's really been wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So, everybody, next week we're going to have another great show. And be sure to sign up on our newsletter list. We have Supernatural Girls with a Z.com. You can go to that website and sign up there. You can go to Helene's website, angelslighthouse.com, and sign up for Helene's newsletter. We've got workshops coming up. We have all kinds of things you don't want to miss. We have a new store in Supernatural Girls where you can buy Supernatural mugs and T-shirts and all kinds of really cool things. It's great for the holidays coming up, birthdays, etc. And it's, I can't believe that this whole hour and a half, it's gone so fast, Helene.
It certainly has, and it was so much fun talking to Carol. She's so grounded and the voice of reason, and I love it.
Oh, yeah. She's just terrific. Yeah. And I know
anybody
who's looking for help will find it with Carolyn, no question about it. And buy the book, you guys. Are You Psychic or Making It Up? So, here we are at the end of another great show, Helene.
I hate to close the show.
It's been so much fun.
Well, good night, Patricia.
Well, good night, Helene. Good night, everybody out there. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for another radio adventure with